We Talk Podcast presents... Listen up, there's not a moment to spare. It's quite a drop from the top, so how you feeling down there? It's a cold, cruel, harsh reality. What it is? What it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbatha, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
A little late this week. Yeah. It was such a jam-packed week here at We Talk Podcast that we thought, you know, One Fall deserves its own special date for one time only this Saturday. So we're going to have a little fun early, late Friday, early Saturday pod for y'all.
Woo!
And it was such a busy week, Joel. We had the pay-per-view. We had the brand split. We had a really good NXT show. We had G1. The women's division of UFC is a catastrophe again. It's a Cruiserweight Classic. Ric Flair singing senile things, World War Animal, wanting people to get off his lawn because he's being a grumpy old man as well, and just so much.
Oh, yeah. But let's jump right in. I think we start with the first thing that kicked the week off, Battleground. What'd you think?
So I don't want to go too in-depth with the pay-per-view, but I it was a fine show. You and I watched this by interesting means as we waited to go see Star Trek. We saw it kind of just before we got to there. In the car. The Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match is, if not the match of the year, one of the top matches of this year. Just a stellar, stellar match. And I hope we get one more part in. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk. If the brand split would have put these guys away, this would have been a perfect ending for sure. I still believe in the Loser Leave Town match, but this part was the best match they've had in the company, NXT, main roster, whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah. It had a story to it. It had crowd. It had crazy spots. It had everything you need. It told a simple story of two people that venom, like the hatred, the pure hatred that both these have, both these men have.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was good, man. It was really good. It took our breath away.
Oh, yeah. And just was it reminds you why you're a pro wrestling fan.
It's like Max Landis said during that beautiful piece that he did about Hunter. And now Max Landis is writing a Pepe Le Pew movie, so maybe not the next endeavor for him. But nonetheless, it's when wrestling is really good, it's really good. When it's really bad, it's really bad. But you stay for that high. And it's the same way I felt for Sasha and Bayley last year. It's like, this is why I love this.
Oh, yeah.
And we felt more of that on Monday, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, yeah. What was it? The Smark shall inherit the earth.
That's what I said to you afterwards, yeah. But we'll get to Monday.
Okay, yeah. I did find that the main event was a little bad. But let's talk about something that happened.
You know what, Joel? More people seem really positive in that main event than you and I did. You and I were kind of blah on it.
It just didn't, like... We'll hit on this, and then we'll go back to the start of the show, because I do want to talk about that quickly.
Sure.
But the main event as a whole just felt like it didn't click.
And I think it's, for me, and I think for you as well, it's because Roman Reigns seemed lost. Fans did not engage him in any way, and that really took both of us out of the match, and I think a big part of that was he wasn't on Adderall. He couldn't focus. And yeah. Mo had brought that up to us, I believe.
Yeah, Mo had brought up that point that maybe this is a guy that for the first time had to learn how to work without some help. So mm-hmm. It definitely now shows that maybe it is a performance-enhancing drug, that it definitely helps to enhance one's performance in the ring. And I looked at it as, like, the guy was a little blown up, the guy, mm-hmm. the crowd, everything about it just... did not click. I think it was great to see Dean win. It was very surprising. I didn't expect that.
Very surprised. You and I thought that they were going to keep the title on Raw, and they did not.
Yeah. Both of us had, the end of that night, both of us had Seth or Roman winning it.
Yeah, because we thought that was the match at SummerSlam, and even going into Raw, which again we'll get to, we thought that would be this case, and boy, were we wrong. We were universally wrong.
We were, but before we chug along there, the other thing that I think stood out was, man, Bailey got such a good pop.
Oh, man, did she ever. Hey, it was one of those situations, too. You heard it from AJ this year. Nakamura said this in the Jericho podcast as well. She was worried that nobody would know who she was. And I think you've seen the influence of NXT now. People know who these people are. I think we need to stop acting like people don't know what NXT is anymore. Because people know. There was chance for Bayley beforehand. And DC's not a particularly smart crowd. It's the East Coast, so that helps. But, you know, I loved it. It was great. It brought a smile to both of us. And I think the smile that Sasha had was just adorable.
Well, that smile continued to grow bigger. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. All in all, I thought Battleground was a decent show. I thought it had some decent moments. I think Rusev and Zach had a decent overall match.
They did. I mean, it's a match that was pretty predictable. We both were like, okay, well, we know who's obviously going to win this. But it, nonetheless, still, both guys put on a great match. And it made what happened with Miz and Darren Young really just unwatchable even more so. Because you're like, well, he's not going to win now.
Yeah.
But I thought Zach and Rusev had decent chemistry. The women's tag match, too, as a whole, it's a fine match, and it's just a nice little tease of what to get from Bayley.
Yeah, and definitely we'll be getting more of Bayley after Brooklyn, too.
For sure.
But, all in all, I thought everything worked out well for Battleground for the most part. Everything that it kind of answered a few more questions we had on the draft. We got to see Roman back in the ring for the first time and got to see that he's fallen from grace a little bit, Josh. They're doing that old
yeah.
thing down, and it'll be interesting to see when or if they build him back up.
I mean, it's a guy I felt a little bad for, just because, this is the guy that, you hear the story that him and the Usos were working in a shipping company a few years ago, and then Umaga talked to him to coming in, and, this is a guy that's worked hard. He hasn't gone through the same things that a Ricochet and a Will Ospreay are going through right now, in particular Adam Cole, those guys, right? He's not grinding on the indies. But this is a guy that still has worked hard, trying to live his dream, and the crowd never gives him anything. And you can look at what happened on Monday with Finn, push right to the top, no one blinks an eye about it. And they do the same thing with Roman. Everyone throws a Hufflepuff. The difference was the background of the bring-up that Finn had compared to the backup of the bring-up that Roman had. You can see both opposites of it, but I think it's fair to bring up what Finn had. Again, we'll get to Monday, but just I feel bad for Roman. Just that, he never really got a chance from the crowd.
No, he didn't. And it's going to be interesting to see how this, because he was the one to eat the pin. So really, he's had his rematch clause for his title, and now it's square one for Roman Reigns, and I don't know where it quite goes, but let's...
No, that's going to be a big subject in a bit here.
Yeah. So, Monday Night Raw, what are we calling that? The Smart Show now? Because originally it was supposed to be SmackDown was the wrestling show, and then
yeah.
Raw was the entertainment show.
And I still contain we don't know what SmackDown is yet. I think SmackDown is still trying to find what it is, and they jammed themselves to that Battle Royal, and having watched back the Randy match, I really liked that, actually. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I just thought that the RKO spot was a little awkward.
Yeah.
Just how he left him there and he waited, it was a little awkward. But, I mean, Raw, that was arguably the best WWE show of the year.
We missed something on Battleground that we have to hit on, Josh.
What's that?
The highlight reel.
Right.
And
no
that bomb
needed.
That Orton dropped.
You and I just kind of our jaws dropped to the ground simultaneously, and we were both in awe for a good 2 minutes. We were just like, what did he just say?
And it's the hypocrisy of it as well, because Orton's been busted. He's needed enhancement to get to Viperville.
Oh, yeah. Viperville is paved with enhancements.
So it's
both the medicinal and needle-wise.
Yeah. So you say what you will, but it's still, you can't. I think what it was, okay, we address this now, and then we move on.
Yeah.
And we hear nothing about it afterwards.
Well, and we know Brock isn't suspended. Thanks to Mo for giving, again, Some background information. Apparently, like, he, The Rock, Hunter, are under a different set of rules. They're not under the wellness policy. So explain a little bit more, Joel.
Basically, it sounds like you have to wrestle a certain number of days and be considered more or less a full-timer to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's certain guys that there's a little loophole for you to get around it, and as long as your name's Paul Levesque, Brock Lesnar, Dwayne Johnson, or Mark Calloway, you can get away with certain things.
Because if you, number one, Hunter, were we shocked about that one?
No, never.
Never, no. And let's be honest, Cena's on that list, but they won't register it.
No, God, no.
No. Brock doesn't get suspended of it, and so then the thing I brought up to Mo was, well, what about Billy Gunn? Because Billy Gunn was doing, I believe, some bodybuilding competitions out of the WWE, and he got popped for a substance, and apparently they take staffers are prone to the wellness policy, which again, let's talk to Vince McMahon about that. That's why Billy Gunn was canned, because he's a staff member, and that's what happened with him. So the hypocrisy is at all time high.
And I think it always will be with WWE.
I still do, and I brought this to Mo and your point as well off air. I still think it's better testing than what the NFL does.
Oh yeah, NFL, and I think
NBA.
And you look at it at the end of the day, like, I mean, you'll hear stories about actors using performance-enhancing drugs to get to a certain look, and everyone just kind of goes, oh, well, they're just actors.
It's weird the double standard you have as far as athletes go.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in basketball, when someone hears that a basketball player did PEDs, they kind of, you're like, oh, it's a basketball player, who cares? But, I mean, it increases your performance no matter what it is. Like, if you're Dwayne Wade right now, right, you're an older guy, or if you're Kobe last year, and something can make you healthier and make you bigger, stronger, faster at your age, that's an advantage that you don't have, that you're going to have over other players.
Oh, yeah. And it's just one of the things that it takes away from that actual natural ability. Pro wrestling, a little bit of it's more that cosmetic look, ultimately, mm-hmm. is what the biggest factor is.
I always thought that there should be a testing in a way of maybe allowing stuff like human growth hormones and PEDs to an extent to athletes. Just to, you know, I think human growth hormone, I would love to see a test of it personally, just for the healing aspects of it is what I'm really talking about. Just increase recovery. Performance base. Yeah. For recovery. I mean, you look at a guy that just won the Hall of Fame this year and pretty much cleaned his entire life, but he had a injury-prone career, was Ken Griffey Jr., still one of the greatest players ever, but had a lot of injuries. And I wonder if we could do some more testing with human growth hormone to see how far along it can increase injury time, like decrease injury time, sorry, then maybe that would change some people's minds about the use of human growth hormone and it's same with stem cells and all that kind of stuff, of the recovery time that those could produce. And some people say, well, that's an unfair advantage that you recover faster. But if you're a WWE and, you know, you just had this recent injury bug, right, with Nikki and Cena and Cesaro and everybody, if you're telling me that, oh, I could have John Cena back even faster, and let's be honest, he probably is taking it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you told him, like, oh, yeah, you can have this guy back a lot faster, you just have to have human growth hormone, and then it was legal, you would definitely consider that option.
It's definitely interesting because it's tricky because if you're using it for like the health reasons, and steroids are used for health. There is a certain time and place for it. It would be very interesting to see. I think that it ultimately still has too many detrimental side effects.
Yeah, and I mean it's crazy too when people hear steroids, especially with baseball players, and the same goes for wrestlers. Everyone thinks that you just take steroids and it's the old cliche that you turn into Popeye and you're just a monster, right?
Yeah.
You still need the athletic ability to gain the extra strength that you're having.
Yeah.
So you look at a guy like a Barry Bonds, he was already killing baseballs, but then he took steroids and he got even better at killing baseballs.
Yeah.
It doesn't Joel couldn't take steroids and be hitting 70 home runs, or be taking steroids and be giving everyone F5s.
No. It'd be nice, but...
It'd be nice, but that's just not how steroids work, and there's such a misappropriation of how this works. And Brock, we don't even know for sure if he took it. He took an estrogen blocker, which is used to hide steroids, but it could have been for something else for him.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure, and I don't know. It's the whole thing is very interesting. What do you think about the WWE not suspending him? Obviously, he's not prone to it, but if Brock had done something worse, let's say Brock had done cocaine or heroin or something, which we didn't really read as much in that wellness policy. Did you see anything about that?
No, I didn't see anything on that from my overview of everything.
That maybe is a different story, I guess. I also don't think it's fair to Mark Hunt, you know, has been on a, better lack of term, a Hunt, a path to get his money and call Brooke a thief and everything like that. And you got to wonder, like, if I'm Randy Orton, do you worry a little bit that this guy's a roided up guy now that has his extra strength in the ring?
No, because I think that ultimately it's pro. Like, you already kind of have to worry about Brock in the ring anyways because of how stiff he works.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that ultimately, I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where he should be suspended, but it's very tricky. It's a very slippery slope with that. It definitely. I don't think we'll ever see a WWE superstar in a mixed martial arts or actual sports setting.
Well, no, and Dana White just signed a new 5-year deal today to stay in charge of the UFC as the president, the head. So I think it's like, fool me one time, shame on me.
Yeah.
You know? He's not gonna go down that path again. Yeah. John Pollock seems to think that there's maybe a potential for Brock in 2 years. We don't even know if Brock's suspended yet from the UFC. I'm assuming he will be, because it's the same thing that John Jones took. And we're all hearing that John Jones will be suspended. Brock is appealing it still, though, is he not?
I believe so. Last thing I heard.
But let's say Brock gets a 2-year suspended. Do you think that Brock could still fight in the UFC? Because even if he does it, Bellator is going
to
want him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he wants to go to Bellator, because that's another area that
you're What if like. You're Bellator, and you're Scott Coker, and I say, hey, Brock, you come here, and you'll be older. Trust me, but if Scott Coker's like, hey, Brock, come here and we'll give you the Theodore fight and all this money.
Money does speak a lot for Brock, which is why all of this is still so weird to me, because you really threw away a lot of money.
The purse was so big.
Yeah.
And just, I think it, obviously Brock loves his money. That's for sure. But I think this is I don't know Brock Lesnar, but I think this was such a big thing personally for him. It was just such a, I need to prove that I can still do this type of thing. And that's why I'm just surprised that he would ruin it by even attempting to take any kind of drug.
Yeah, it was very much kind of like, there's still a path of logic that I don't get.
No, it's very weird because Brock just, I know a lot of people see Brock and they're like, well, yeah, he's a jacked dude, he uses steroids. He seemed like such a disciplined athlete to me. And we went over this last week and whatnot. It's still very surreal to me, the entire thing.
Yeah, it's definitely.
And I wonder, too, Joe, like, I mean, if I was in a company and I was in a combat sport and I knew for the past 2 years, I can use steroids and I can use this, maybe he was on a steroid cycle with the WWE coming up to WrestleMania time and he needed to get off it coming to the UFC.
Maybe.
Yeah, did Brock look particularly bigger to you during WrestleMania?
No, he looked about the same.
Yeah. And that's about when we think he was training because of how short the match with Dean was.
Yeah, how short and quick it was.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's the wellness policy thing was very interesting, though. It's on the Wrestling Observer, so you get a chance to read it. Definitely go and read it. I mean, it makes sense to some guys, too. Like, The Rock, they don't want The Rock to get busted.
No.
No, and I recently watched back that promo he did from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
He was definitely on cocaine. I'm sold now. He was on cocaine.
I don't know.
You're still mixed on it?
I'm, he's still, I grew up with The Rock, so it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, he does drugs. I'm still in that mind of, Rocky.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe he went very well, wasn't, but I mean, with the shooting schedule that he had for Ballers that day, and that, you look at The Rock next year. So, Joel, The Rock has a movie next summer, April, May, June, and July.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So he, I think it's Fast is in April. Baywatch is in May. There's another one I'm missing that's in June, and then Jumanji's in July.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so The Rock is owning the summer next year.
Oh, that guy just won't. I don't blame him. He's one of the hardest working people out there.
Do you think we'll see him back in the company at all at any point this year? Do you think they bring him around for SummerSlam?
Maybe.
Yeah. But, so, go ahead.
All in all, the Brock situation it's sad. It's a shame. Orton it's the way of company WWE addressing it. I don't know they handled the situation the best, but ultimately,
Think kind of just going to TMZ about it and saying, oh yeah, we're not going to suspend him. Not the best way to go about it.
No.
I want to talk about before we get to Raw. Do you have the notes from the quarterly report meeting?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, here's a few things that I had written down because I read a little stuff before we went on. So they were asked about the sale of the company. And Vince always said that we're always open to the possibility.
Yeah.
So, again, UFC got sold for $4.4 billion. Could the WWE be sold for $1 billion? Because this is my thing. I think globally, is it in more places than the UFC?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's questionable. I think the thing the UFC has on it, it's two different properties, right? It depends how you use it. Because globally, the UFC has looked more serious as an athletic competition, whereas the WWE is like more as like an entertainment property.
Yeah.
So it's like a Marvel getting sold, more or less, right? But I mean, a lot of history there. If you used it correctly, you could make a lot of money off it. And I'm guessing because the merchandise is also a big thing that UFC doesn't really have.
Yeah.
They don't have the Cena, the Hogan, the NWA libraries of merchandise that the Randy Savage stuff that they can sell, right?
Yeah.
And the WWE has all that merchandise stuff. They have with the network also 1.5 million subscribers.
Wow.
So it didn't really jump down a lot, really?
Yeah.
From WrestleMania, you know, it had a little bit of a lull, but it stayed pretty good.
That's actually decent.
I did find it funny also that one stockholder did not know there was a brand split.
Which one was that?
I don't know. It's just a random guy just questioned and said, oh, there was a brand split.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's more a case that sometimes these guys are just super rich and they're just buying stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I didn't know you did that.
That's entirely possible.
I think if I bought something, though, like if I bought Apple stock, I'd want to know all the ins and outs of Apple.
Oh, yeah. You definitely would want to.
Especially if you're – the way I read it, I wasn't sure if he attended or if he called in. But you would assume that if you're doing either or, you would – have an update on the company before you called in and brought up a topic up.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they didn't promote the brand split. They promoted the hell out of that.
Oh, everyone knew.
Yeah, and the SmackDown ratings last week showed that.
Oh, yeah.
As anything else, really wasn't too much. Just kind of talked about how committed they were to the brand splits, and yeah.
Woo!
Shall we finally get to Raw?
Yeah. Nothing major happened on that show. That was a crap.
It was only the greatest wrestling WWE show of this year.
So, Finn Balor debuts.
Yep.
No big deal, right?
Nope.
And he goes on and he beats... Here's what happened. He goes on and he wins his match. So you're like, ooh, okay, so Seth Rollins is going to face whoever Finn faces will face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam.
For what belt, Joel?
The Universal Championship.
Oh, my God. But, so what's next then? We need the Interdimensional?
Yeah.
Is that the only big one you can get to?
Yeah.
Because Galaxy, Universal is bigger than Galaxy, right? Because there's galaxies in the universe.
Yeah.
So Interdimensional we need next. We need an Interdimensional Champion.
Oh, God. Don't tell Vince about it. He might actually do it.
I want to meet the Interdimensional Vince McMahon. Is he just, like, super nice and quiet? You're fired.
He's just very reserved and very shy and awkward. Hi, my name's Vince.
That CM Punk is just a raging alcoholic.
Stone Cold has never had a beer in his life.
Nope.
Hulk Hogan didn't say anything stupid ever in his life.
Hulk Hogan says, sister.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, sister.
And, what was it? Daniel Bryan never had a... He just is a very angry man who's very driven.
Yeah.
And says no all the time.
Yeah.
Fandango's
over.
Yep, Fandango's over. Sean couldn't wrestle his way out of a wet paper bag.
No.
So this is the alternate universe. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Rick is sober.
And Bruce Hart is the greatest Hart of all time. And Smith.
Oh, God.
Bruce and Smith are the best Harts ever.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So we have Finn Balor win, which was a good match.
Great match. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. But once we got – but one second quick, too. I actually, after some time, I don't think – it's kind of like Dolph Ziggler, the name. I think in a little bit, we're not even going to think twice about calling it the Universal Championship.
Oh, yeah.
It's stupid right now, for sure. I think eventually you're not going to think twice about it.
It's just going to be one of those things that – it's pro wrestling. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. I do find it – it's kind of childish because it's funny the brother and sister is like, well, I'm going to call mine the Universal Championship then, Shane. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and I've heard that there is still some tension backstage between the McMahons.
Well, at least there's no more sexual tension that we have to witness.
Yeah, yay. But
okay, now get to the match.
Now we move forward, and then we have Roman win. And by this point, I had convinced Josh that
I was a killing joke, by the way, during all of this.
And I was at work, so.
Yeah.
But, I had convinced Josh that Roman was more or less going to win. And I told him there's only going to be one thing that you're going to like. And it was this little match against Sasha Banks and Charlotte that was going to be a fine, decent little match. There's no way that Charlotte would drop the title.
I had seen a tweet from Bailey on the way home that made me think about it. Then Joel convinced me out of it, so he definitely worked me. I'll admit that when I've been worked. I still, there's no way they're going to drop the title tonight because they're going to save it for SummerSlam. And, man, you know, we talked about how good that KO and the Sanity match was. Yeah, I like this match more because of the story in this one. This is a story about an 8-year-old girl with a famous uncle, and the only thing that she ever wanted to do, her uncle's famous for talking about gin and juice, and all she wanted to do was be a WWE champion.
It just had a perfect story, and the lie, cheat, and steal from tribute to a certain...
Oh, I lost my shit when she did that to Dana.
And you just see it, and you hear those Eddie chants, and you still get little goosebumps when you hear the Eddie chants, because you think of Eddie, and you're just like, man, he was so entertaining.
Well, I was to you, Joel. There's two things that make me smile in wrestling no matter what. One is Bayley's theme song. You cannot smile when you hear Bayley's. If you do not smile, or be like, I like this song, and it makes you smile, then you're not a human being if you don't smile when you hear Bayley's theme song. And the other is just hearing the name Eddie Guerrero. Oh. You just think of Mamacita and all the Eddie Guerrero stuff, and he just makes you smile.
Oh, yeah. Like and then seeing the little smirk on Sasha's face in that match. And then that tapping out, the crowd pop.
Yeah, it was the perfect moment. It's one of those times that WWE actually hit something at the right moment. They're like, this is the moment to do it. We're going to do it, and, you know,
Maybe they bookend it at trying to go against the Democratic convention. You know, that could be said. But whatever, man. I'd rather watch this than watch Hillary any day.
Oh, yeah. And but, I mean, Josh, Sasha Banks is being shoved down our throats, or that is what
Warrior Animal
has been saying. So
yeah.
I think his quote was about her being on a Muscle and Fitness cover and how much WWE had to pay to get her on that cover. And it's okay. Just kind of like...
Who cares?
Well, I'm going to just go over here and enjoy Sasha Banks wrestling. Yeah. So have fun with that, Road Warrior Animal.
Yeah.
You see the moment, you see the match, and you see everything, and you just get chills, and you get little goosebumps, because it's one of those, we talked about Sammy and KO being one of those moments where you're like, oh, God, this is why I love wrestling. This is another one of those where you're just like, God, I love wrestling.
It was so perfect, and there's times I wasn't sure she was going to get it. And when she finally got it and the tap out happened, it was just one of those, it was like, this is so awesome. And there's times in wrestling when a match gets won, it's like, it feels so perfect and you just feel like legit happiness about it.
Oh yeah.
And, it was kind of crazy too, cause you know how tight those girls are in real life. And Charlotte, the camera cut away and you know, she's trying to be a heel, but she's smiling a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like, oh, it's funny because she's obviously so happy for her friend in real life. But at the same time, she's like, ah, damn, I got to be a heel. Damn.
Yeah, you definitely feel. And then the phone call conversation, the FaceTime between her and Bayley.
Yeah. We also had heard, by the way, that Charlotte was taking time off.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of going back and forth about that now. Have you heard anything more about that?
I've heard that's
refuted
false.
Again. Yeah.
That's false. So don't buy anything into it. She's going to be working just as much as the rest, but it's more or less, don't buy into it. It was just, the biggest reason they did this was they wanted to pop the ratings.
They wanted to beat the Democratic convention.
Yeah, and they wanted to show that anything can happen on this Raw, so...
Yeah, it was a good night for them to go. I don't want to get into political, but like, do you think they have to go against like Obama's speech or Biden's speech?
Yeah.
They didn't really have anything major on the Monday, I think, speeches-wise, to go against. So that was good for them, but still, like, the conventions have done so good in the ratings this week, well, the Democrat one and the Republicans,
yeah,
that they had a good thing to bookend against it if you were getting kind of sick of the political stuff, if you're in America.
For us, it's like, hey, I get to watch,
For us, it's just an entertaining train wreck on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, now let's get to the other little bit of part where, working you, Roman versus Finn.
Yeah, so, as soon as... he had won that match, I'm like, okay, could Finn be winning this? And then I'm like, nah. But then I kept on overthinking it, and Joel definitely went into high gear as far as working.
I made it my mission, because I remember, because I was viewing all this basically through social media.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the end of the match was kind of coming close, and you could tell what time it was, and just constantly refreshing. And then when the minute I saw the words, Balor wins, there's like goosebumps and chills. And it's just, and you see the videos and you see the GIFs and you're like, it happened. Roman lost clean, dead in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. And I was like, there's no way this can be ruined for someone that gets to go home right away and watch it on the PVR. So I'm like, no social media. And I'm sorry, Josh, but Sheamus and Finn are feuding. That's where they're going.
I was shocked just because, so he hit the spear, and I really felt how I did in the Brock and Taker match. When the three went down, I just, it was like, what? Like, I couldn't believe it.
We're so used to Roman just going over.
Yeah, like, I thought, like, oh, he's going to hit the, like, I don't think he hit a sling blade, but he hit the kind of the jump kick into the back ropes there when the guy falls down.
Yeah.
And he went up for the coup de grace. And what I had thought was going to happen, I'm like, okay, well, he's going to miss the coup de grace and Roman's going to hit the Superman punch or a spear or some bullshit. And okay, whatever. Then we'll get Roman and Seth and hopefully Seth wins. I had that in my mind. And he hit the coup de grace. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He hit the coup de grace. At least he got in the coup de grace on Roman. And then when that three went down, I'm like, what?
Excuse me?
So,
and everybody was super happy unless you're a Nature Boy.
Yeah, Nature Boy Ric Flair believes there will never be a cruiserweight to close out WrestleMania, right, Josh? That's never happened before.
Except for the three times it has.
20, 12.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many times did Shawn do it?
Shawn did it, well, Shawn did it twice. Twice?
Who retired you, Flair?
Yeah, a cruiserweight.
I'm sorry, I love you, but...
I'm sorry, I... Flair.
One of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time. One that's destroyed for all of us in the Chris Benoit and Eddie moment, which was my personal favorite till that stuff happens, which we just really can't talk about anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that was one of the greatest moments. That was, I think, a lot of people's favorite WrestleMania moments before the tragedies happened.
Yeah.
Even after Eddie passed, people still had that moment really high.
Oh, yeah.
But then the Benoit stuff happened and ruined it forever.
Yeah.
But then 12. The Brian moment happened, right?
12.
And the Brian, yeah. But then Brian happened, and everyone has that moment for as far as a cruiserweight, the little guy that can't do it.
Yeah. Like, there have been moments where the little guy did it, and, I mean...
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
He didn't close out WrestleMania, but that was a great moment. And, I mean, not a great title run by any means. They kind of buried him quite a bit. But still, it was a great moment at a WrestleMania. It didn't close out, but that was a great moment nonetheless.
It was definitely like 30. You have a whole bunch of moments with this cruiserweight. So I'm sorry, Flair. You're wrong. Like, I mean, here's the thing. You're always going to have this debate. And there's always going to be people like, oh, yeah, no, these vanilla midgets suck. We need guys with power moves. That's the only way my wrestling's going to be. And I understand that. That is your wrestling world. That is what you enjoy. You enjoy the Kevin Nash, the Big Papa Pumps. Who is his birthday today, by the way?
Scott Steiner's?
Yeah.
How old?
54.
Oh, shit, he looks pretty good for 54.
Yeah, 54. The tattoos on the front and the back, not so much, but...
No,
that's neither here.
Do you think he gets into the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. There's been...
I know he said that he doesn't want to go in, but Nash has said that before, too.
Yeah.
He definitely is deserving of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Steiner brothers are one of the biggest tag teams from that generation.
He was a big part of the – he was a former world champion. You can't take that away from him. I mean, when WCW was dying, one of the highlights of that show was Scott Steiner.
And the freaks and the –
Yeah.
What was it?
I can't remember.
He had a whole bunch of nicknames for himself, didn't he?
As long as he does a math equation, when he gets inducted, I'm good. Or says, fat asses.
Well, Scott Steiner on an open mic, not the safest, but anyways.
I'll get him on a Jericho podcast sometime soon.
That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That would be very entertaining, but, cruiserweights have done a lot, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
I never looked at Finn as a cruiserweight until you actually look at his.
No, you and I pointed that out. I've never looked at him as a cruiserweight. I don't really look at Sammy as a cruiserweight. I look at guys like Neville and Kalisto, those are the cruiserweights right now. Like, even, like I said, like Kota Ibushi, who is just killing it right now, and had a great match with Buddy Murphy on NXT this week that everybody should go see. I don't really consider him a cruiserweight, but he is.
Yeah.
But when Kota was in New Japan, I never really thought that's a guy who's a cruiserweight. I just thought, oh, he's a great wrestler. I never thought of him like a little guy.
But then you actually look at it and you're like, oh. Damn,
yeah, he's a little guy. But, I mean, even a guy who is the guy from Detroit in the cruiserweight?
Kenneth Johnson?
Yeah, like, I would never thought of Kenneth as a cruiserweight, but there you are.
Yeah.
Looks like DJ from Street Fighter, by the way. Finally got that in a podcast.
There you go.
That one's been bugging me.
Like, you look at a lot of, like, you look at everything, like, Flair, I'm sorry. But Finn and Flair had even said that he's more excited for Dean and his opponent from SmackDown, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah, and that's bizarre.
Yeah,
Flair sometimes too. I think he goes by his drinking buddies.
Yeah,
and I think those are two guys that probably have drank with him.
Yeah,
and Ed Dean and Ziggler probably drank with him. He doesn't really know Finn.
Yeah, so I think that plays a role, and you got to think Roman may have had a drink with Flair at one point, the Nature Boy.
Yeah, that's what he kind of bases things on.
Yeah, it's a little eh. But I mean, I think Finn, ultimately, this is, like we said, and the title of this podcast, the Marks are inheriting the Earth.
They really are.
It's scary. And
that was that show was all about. I mean, can we talk about this jobber? That was the best moment of the night.
Was he waving goodbye when the reverse chokeslam happened?
I don't know, but he was great. The look that on his face, I almost want that to be the cover art for this pod. His look, and I love that they had him in the ring, Byron Saxton, who I thought was really actually not too bad on Raw this week.
Yeah.
I think having that dynamic with Corey that they had in NXT definitely helps. But I just thought it was a nice little touch having him in, and he's like, this is my dream, but I'm trying to rethink this. And it just kind of says, like, what we'd all think if we had to go one-on-one with Braun Strowman. And it made Braun look even more deadlier, right?
Yep.
Like, you get a live reaction of what this guy is thinking as this monster is heading towards him.
And you're building Braun up. I mean, you need big men. You need guys like Big Show, Kane, stuff. Is Braun as athletic as these guys?
Oh, no.
Probably not. But, I mean, at the same time, you're going to need these big guys to do stuff. And
yeah.
Why not build them up?
And that's the thing. We've always been saying, like, there's a mix for the big guys and the cruiserweights. And I always hate that, you know, these once in a while these older guys come through. And it's never the younger guys. It's the older guys. It's like Vader ran with Ricochet and Ospreay. The flip stuff. It's irrelevant if you're bigger or you're little. If you can get over and you can kill it in the ring, then that's where the ultimate respect at the end of the day comes from.
Yeah.
And the way that this industry has gone now, most of those little guys are the guys that carry it in the ring. They don't – on the independents even, Joel, like, can you think of many, like, big, brooding, big guys? There's not – that kind of guy isn't around anymore, really.
Not really. Like, I can't
Moose.
Think of any – Yeah, Moose, but now he's with TNA, so
– Yeah.
It is what it is, but there's not a lot of little guys anymore. There's a lot of guys that are – the normal size. They're normal human being size. They're not massive monsters.
Mm-hmm. But, and so when you have one, it's kind of the freak show element, right? Which you get with Nia and with Braun.
Yeah, and both had jobber matches, which is good. This is exactly mm-hmm. what you need for both of them.
You do.
So, it. I think, all in all, that was a great part. I was very happy that that happened. Like, everything from Monday Night Raw, the overall delivery, the package, everything, the theme song, everything clicked for me.
You definitely hit right away about what your product is going to be.
Yeah.
And I really liked, too, the overall broadcast tone of everything. I liked where the broadcast desk was. I liked the new set. I liked the new graphics. Everything was really good about it.
Yeah. And now my next question for you is, does Finn become the first ever Universal Champion, or does the first ever NXT champion become the first ever Universal Champion?
It's funny because we have the first NXT champion, first, I believe, the longest running?
Yeah, longest reigning.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go with I want to see the build goes, but right now I think Finn could do it.
That would be huge, go from NXT to King of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting, but does the night end with some clubmates standing together holding all the gold?
Do I think the club comes out? I was surprised actually on Raw this week that we didn't get a tease of them.
Yeah, it was very weird that there wasn't even any acknowledgement about it. But on the flip side, you kind of have them kind of going off and doing their own separate thing right now.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I guess it makes sense, but I think eventually we'll see them together.
I wouldn't be shocked next Raw if they go head-to-head against each other. Like, yeah. if they kind of pass each other in a hallway or something like that.
Just a little wink or nod of some kind.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but all in all, I thought Monday Night Raw did well, but now we kind of shift towards Tuesday nights, no spoilers, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we know, we found out on Tuesday, we can watch it live.
Yeah, what'd you think of the first ever live SmackDown?
Look, I know a lot of people were mixed on this show, the depth is definitely an issue, it showed that in the Battle Royal when
all respect, Zack Ryder was one of the Final Four. Although he was just a Final Four in a Raw one. So really isn't that big of a deal. I thought Raw was such a good show. Again, I thought Raw was the best WWE show of the year, Joel.
Yeah?
Like, what was better this year overall? Maybe NXT WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Maybe? But I think I think Charlotte and Sasha is my match of the year right now in WWE.
Yeah, I definitely can make that argument. I still think, for me, Sami Zayn is going to be involved in that match of the year conversation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Raw was like, it was inconceivable for SmackDown to do anything unless bring Kurt Angle and MVP and all those guys out that night.
Yeah.
Like, or Bryan comes out of retirement.
Bryan comes out of retirement, challenges Dean Ambrose, and wins the title.
He doesn't even challenge Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose decides to drop the title so AJ and Daniel Bryan can have a match against each other.
And it has to be a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah, like that's the only way they could really end up beating what Raw did. So, yeah, was there some lulls? Of course. And I still think they're trying to find their way. The depth issue is something, but I thought it was fine. It was a nice B-plus player.
Yeah. And right now, I think it needs to find a little bit of its footing. I mean, we're getting Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, buddy! I'm excited! That's my dude!
So he's going to be coming in. I think there's going to be a few other names added to SmackDown. But you look at it, like, and you look at some of the guys that are getting a chance now. Uh-huh. Getting a chance to kind of show that, yeah, no, I am.
Apollo Crews, man, really impressed me. I thought he showed a lot more than we've ever seen from him in this one episode. And that's what you and I, when we watched the draft show, we're like, anyone goes anywhere, we really want Apollo Crews to go to SmackDown. We wanted Cesaro to go there as well. But we're like, I hope Apollo goes there because that's the best place for him to go to get a chance to shine.
Yeah. And there's one other guy that got a chance to shine. He's currently on an HBK tribute tour. And that is the guy that had one of the loudest crowd reactions cashing in. That's Dolph Ziggler.
Mr. Ziggles!
For a guy that was always kind of, oh, we'd like to see him. It feels like it's been a roller coaster for Ziggler.
I don't think we've really even talked about Dolph this year. I think the last time, even on One Fall, that Dolph was seriously mentioned was the Lana program, and that just destroyed him. So it's been about a year in the dumps.
Yeah, it's been about a year. And I mean, you look at the last real time he was relevant was that Survivor Series where Sting came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the big pinfall victory. Not Cena, not anyone else. It was Ziggler.
Like, they never really... They never did anything off of that, really.
No, it was very... it was very much kind of like, oh, we'll give this to you, and then that's it. This, uh-huh. I feel like they're going to have to kind of let him run with it. And I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, Ziggler is going to be take a loss at SummerSlam. I can't see him.
No, because I think you and I were talking. I think the idea is that Dean's going to beat a guy, some of these up-and-comers, rehab them, but they're going to lose the title match. And then eventually we're thinking around Survivor Series. He's going to face AJ. AJ's going to win, and we think we're going to get AJ and Orton around WrestleMania.
Yeah. Which is perfectly okay. You kind of have to because now American Grit got renewed for a second season. So Cena's going to be out of the picture there at a certain point.
He got renewed?
Yeah.
The ratings weren't very good, I thought.
Yeah, the last thing I read was American Grit got renewed and it's going to cut into Cena's pro wrestling time.
Wow. All right.
But I think Dean can have a... And it just shows that they're not going to play hot potato with the title.
Uh-huh.
They're going to let it be build up, and Dean's run's going to look a little bit nicer for it. And I mean, Dean has pinned both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns.
He has. He looks like the strongest of the Shield.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to go in, and he's probably going to win at SummerSlam. He's probably going to win at Backlash, coming back in September.
Do you think he'll face Dolph at Backlash, or do you think it was someone else?
I think it's someone else. I think Dolph is a
maybe one. Bray?
Yeah, But as we've heard, Bray's in a little bit of hot water.
Yeah, don't reply to a Hardy. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Don't do anything stupid on social media.
Don't do anything with the Hardys.
Just stay away. Walk away. Slowly.
Don't do anything with Rebby, the baby, none of them.
No. Don't tweet the baby.
Don't tweet the baby.
So, yeah, I think I could eventually see Bray eventually having a match against. But ultimately, I think AJ is being the number one heel on SmackDown. That's where.
Yeah, and everyone calm your shit, okay? AJ lost. He was the last pick. Calm the hell down. AJ's not getting buried. I have read so many articles this week about AJ Styles was buried, and this is the end of AJ Styles, and calm the hell down. Even if he loses to Cena, he's happy? Calm the hell down.
Yeah. And Vince likes AJ, and you're starting to see more and more AJ merch out there, so...
For sure.
I'm not worried at all.
I'm not worried one bit. Is there better people that could have got the pin, like, I don't know, Corbin?
Yeah.
Sure, but at the end of the day, who cares? You can blame it that Cena got him distracted, and he lost. It's a pretty easy part of the storyline.
Yeah, and that's what it is. This is telling a story. This is not the end of the story. There's still many chapters to be written for both, all these characters. So just, let's see how it all plays out.
We'll go from there. I want to talk about the women. One woman particularly stood out to me on Tuesday.
Was it All Red?
It was All Red Everything. I can't believe it. What an entrance.
You definitely could tell who they care about the most.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were like, kind of like giving her like a slow clap. I'm like, that is just one of the greatest entrances I've ever seen. It's too bad she's absolutely terrible in the ring.
Yeah, it's... you know, she has a decent look for what you want from her character. Mm-hmm. I think she has more or less an idea of what her character is.
She has her character pinpoint down. She knows exactly, as far as a character, what she needs to be. It just sucks that she can't wrestle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if she was Becky Lynch, right? If Becky Lynch could have this kind of character and be the supermodel and all that, this would be the top draw in the company. But the thing is, she wrestles, she looks like Trish, but she wrestles more like Tori.
Yeah, that's fair assessment. Yeah.
Which, it's unfortunate. All respect to Tori Wilson, but I think even she would admit she wasn't the greatest wrestler.
Yeah. I would hope.
Which is why she did a lot of bra and panties matches.
Oh, the good old days of women wrestling, right?
It's hard to watch. We've been over this.
Oh, yes. I'm very... You go from, like, the highs of Monday Night Raw down to...
I'm glad that I was never part of a crowd that cheered that on, because I definitely would have when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
And now in hindsight, I'm just like, I'm glad I... Like, on the TV, obviously, I cheered it on, but now I'm glad as an adult that I know this is just barbaric and just terrible, the way that we treated these women in the industry. And that's why I'm glad for someone like a Sasha and a Becky and a Natty... that we get to have women that are just great performance. And also in that women, you know, it was good to see a Bliss. I thought she did a good job with her promo.
Yeah.
I thought that Carmella actually did a pretty good job in her promo.
It, you know, a lot of them I think did decent and just established that there is this women's division.
I mean, it's not as good as Raw's for sure.
No.
Let's not joke ourselves, but I think it's really interesting that Natty's there because it's like Natty gets to kind of teach them.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
And I think that maybe this division gets a hugger on it.
You think this one gets the hugger, hey?
It's possible, but I have heard about the WrestleMania match between the Hugger and the Boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might play a role in it as well.
I would agree. A disappointing thing from SmackDown, too, was it's like they hyped up American Alpha. It's like, next week, I'm like... What do you mean, next week? I want American Alpha now.
You gotta wait, Josh.
Who do you put them in against? Do they have just Simon Gotch go in and just get destroyed?
Yeah, the Vaudevillains, or the Ascension.
A lot of people aren't really happy with Simon Gotch right now.
Yeah, apparently his mouth gets him in trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Which is good for us, because we're big Aiden English fans.
Yeah.
So, I'm cool with that, man. Get out of here, Simon Gotch, your exposed nipple.
Oh, God.
I mean, and what did you think about? I thought
by the way, I thought Randy has been pretty good on the mic. I kind of like this new face Randy Orton. He hasn't been as bad as I thought he would be on the mic. Like, he's been rather well.
It seems like he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And just doesn't really care.
No, and it was interesting to me, too, that The Law did a road trip up to Buffalo, and they were saying how shocked they were how many Randy Orton fans there were.
You know, I think it's a guy that has had ups and downs, but I think ultimately now, I think this is one of his last big runs with the company.
I would agree, yeah.
Because of the injuries and just health and everything. So yeah. I think this is where, this is kind of his last real run. I think he's having a lot of fun with it right now.
How can you not, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be in the ring with Brock, which will be a little bit of a beating.
But that will not be as fun.
No. But you'll get to work with AJ. I mean, The Miz is fine on the mic, so
mm-hmm.
you get that as well. So I think that there's some positive. And I mean, I'm enjoying Randy Orton. So
yeah, I'm actually really happy to have Randy back. I missed him quite a bit.
Yeah. So this is a good little another hand that you have in on SmackDown, and it just helps grow it.
It does.
So all in all, SmackDown okay. I think it needs to find its footing. But Ziggler is going to go out and see if he can steal the show.
I think he's going to. I think it's good to have Ziggler. He feels like re-energized.
Yeah, a lot of this feels like a second opportunity for a lot of these guys. So why not?
Oh yeah. Anything else in SmackDown we missed up? Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino. Rhino could be there. So that's another veteran that you can have.
Mm-hmm. I don't think either one of us, I mean, all respect to Rhino, I'm not just like, yay, Rhino.
Yeah, just kind of those small little things that are like, okay.
He just hasn't really wowed me in NXT, so.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing about that.
Yeah,
Rhino brings crickets to the crowd.
Just cricket, cricket, cricket. But let's get to, you know, outside of the main
cruiserweights, NXT. Yep.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, he's so good, Joel. He's so good. It's ridiculous.
It's a shame that he can't sign right away with the company.
Oh, I know.
Because he just imagine the matches him and Brian could have.
Oh my God! Right.
Just the technical. Just the. How did they do? Wait, what are they? No. Like, Zach, oh yeah, Zach, Brian Kendrick.
Kendrick did really, Kendrick had a different game plan, like a very, kind of put a little bit of luck, but also a very aggressive game plan. It was much different than the last time I saw him play.
Yeah.
Or wrestle, mind you, as they put the athlete term onto it.
It very much has an athlete feel, that tournament, so that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was really impressed with Zach. I think the last time you and I watched Evolve, we went to watch Zack Sabre, and we left watching Will Ospreay.
Yeah, and now we continue to watch Will Ospreay.
Yeah, like we continue to watch Will Ospreay, but it's also kind of nice to be able to watch a guy like Zack Sabre and just be like, oh yeah, that Zack Sabre guy, he's kind of good there, bud.
Yep, just maybe a little bit.
Yeah, that kid's gonna go far.
He's gonna go somewhere, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm very happy for what he did in that match as well.
Oh yeah. But I think, I mean, we're gonna talk about guys that could go far. We gotta talk about a guy that was on NXT tonight as well, or not tonight, but on NXT.
Kota Ibushi with a match that was just shocked the hell out of me with Buddy Murphy.
I mean, if Instagram tells me correctly, I believe Buddy Murphy had a match against Gargano that was very good.
Really? You know, and I had mentioned to you, I actually kind of like Buddy Murphy a little bit. Like, I wasn't sure where he was going to go, but he's impressed me.
Yeah, he definitely, like, you see some decency from him, so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, why not?
Why not, exactly. Why not? I think he has a decent package as far as a look goes. Kept the dubstep theme that I think really works for them. And he just looks like a solid performer. He kind of reminds me, look-wise, of Paul Burchill.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like Paul Burchill. But he's an Australian as well, which they don't have anything on the main roster. They never really had a main Australian attraction. And you have a lot of Australians down there as well. Billy Kay is Australian as well. You have that TM61, which is a terrible name, but whatever. Who else? Is Peyton Royce? I think she's Australian as well.
I'm not 100% sure.
So, but yeah, my point is a nice little and Emma as well, Australian on the main roster. So, but as far as guys, they never really had a major guy that's Australian.
Yeah. So this will be a nice.
That's a nice addition.
Yeah. And I mean, like Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, he's really good too. Yeah. I'm sure Buddy Murphy is great, but being with Kota Ibushi definitely helps.
Yeah, this is a guy that you need to have signed yesterday.
I wonder now, too, do you think that inevitably we'll get Blake and Murphy back together? Or do you think now with Buddy Murphy being able to kind of prove himself by himself, that that's going to lead to maybe they can look at a guy like Wesley Blake who's not the greatest? And maybe like that's a guy that maybe we could ever consider if we wanted to cut. That could be a guy we could cut.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't disagree. I think this could help propel Murphy forward to something small on NXT.
Is he the one that's dating Bliss?
Yep.
Okay, so that helps him too.
So that could be a reason why he finds himself on Monday Night Raw, Josh.
Everything's coming up, Murphy.
Yeah, apparently. So
great match with Kota Ibushi. And he's dating Alexa Bliss. He's a winner of my books.
Yeah, he's got little check marks now for sure.
Also from NXT, No Way Jose. Huh.
Yeah.
Showed some aggression. Showed a good promo. Only thing that's holding him back is that stupid name.
Yeah, that but name.
He showed a lot to me. He's like, this guy's a guy I can take seriously. He just has a really shitty name.
I think once you fix that and dump the name, then I think you've got a guy that could definitely be, like, you're going to have guys that are going to be more NXT bound, but he's a guy that can easily do it on NXT. That, I mean, that there's nothing wrong with it.
I talked about, like, Dolph Ziggler. We got over the name. Dolph Ziggler is one thing, but getting over the name No Way Jose, I think that's going to be a really hard one to get over.
Oh, yeah. Ziggler is now just second nature to us.
Yeah, no but way, No Jose. Way Jose is just, it's a phrase. It's not a name. It's a phrase.
Yeah. So hopefully they let him continue to grow. But yeah, I mean, if you drop Blake and Murphy, we could have technically had Ibushi versus Knock.
We could. And we have, next week NXT gets even better. We have the debut of Bobby Roode. And we have the return of Hideo Itami.
Everything's coming up NXT right now.
And Billy Kay also, you know, had a nice kind of reintroduction of her character. They kind of made her pompous. A really cool theme song. It's a traditional beat. I can't really explain it. If you heard it, you would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I like her character kind of being pompous. And she was on SmackDown, so now she's better than everybody.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you and I talked about this last week. They need to start building up the NXT women's division again.
Yeah.
And I think that happens with girls like Billy, like Peyton, and hopefully getting Tessa on board as well, and as well as the Mandys and the Darias as well from Tough Enough. And that's a segue, unless you have anything else to talk about NXT, because we had a cut from the Tough Enough crew.
No, I think I'm all done and finished.
ZZ got cut, and none of us are shocked.
No.
And I never really bought into him as a character. And I'm just not really too sad. I wouldn't be shocked if Big Josh is cut, because we hear about a lot of attitude problems from him.
Yeah, and attitude's not a good thing to have on NXT.
I think that Daria or Mandy will be, because you heard Bailey on that Jericho podcast just talk about their work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
I think those two will be the two shining stars from that class. Unless, I mean, we both really like Patrick, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Patrick, you know, he was doing that Donald Trump character. I don't know if he's doing it anymore.
I don't think so.
And Mata, is Mata even on the house shows?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, so I haven't seen anything from Mata. So as far as the guys go, I put the most in the patch because I feel like
he wants it the most. So we'll see how the Tough Enough people go. I really like what Daria could do, though. I think Daria, with the MMA influence, I'm excited to see her in a match against Asuka.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Daria wrestle, by no means, but with the MMA influence, it'd be interesting to see her versus Asuka in an MMA type of feel women's fight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting where everything goes for this women's division NXT. Like, we talked about this last week, which is kind of the direction. There's some decent hands there, so...
Same kind of with the tag team division, too, right? Because you have the Powers of Pain, and you have TM61, and you have Blake and Murphy are split up now, and there's just a lot of tag teams that are kind of building those up. Ciampa and Gargano sound like they're under contract now.
Yeah.
So they're building up a lot of these tag teams now, and it's a new era of tag team in NXT. So it's a really interesting period in NXT because it's kind of a new wave, and it's a lot of their talent as well that's came in now too, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for what Brooklyn's going to bring us. I'm all of a sudden excited for No Way Jose versus Austin Aries now. After what I've seen from No Way Jose, they've done a good job of bringing those two together and making you like really want to see what these two can do.
It's going to be very interesting how this all plays out. I mean, we have Hideo Itami back.
Mm-hmm.
We got Bobby Roode, like you said. There's a lot of exciting things. So,
and then you have the cruise Wednesday nights. It's you have 3 nights of wrestling, and I think like you're going to get a different theme from every one. We don't know what SmackDown's going to be yet, but I really liked my Wednesday night with the Cruiserweight and NXT. It's kind of like you get to watch the future.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot happening in both those brands that I just – Cruiserweight, I think, I almost enjoy most weeks the most, just the way everything's showing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the thing I liked about watching on both those programs this week was how much different the broadcast was on both of those and different interview styles and whatnot. And when they showed the Cruiserweight stuff this week on Raw, Joel, they showed kind of those like fighting robot kind of things. What did you think about that?
Yeah.
Did that think that you think we're going to get that kind of – feel on the main roster when they bring the Cruiserweights up?
I think so. I think it'd be smart to just take what's already worked and kind of add to it.
Yeah, I would think so too. So it's exciting times.
It definitely is.
What else?
Grumpy Old Man on Lawns, check. Brock Lesnar, check. Orton, check.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jinder Mahal signed with the company.
Yeah. So
I think we brought that up though. But. Yeah.
Raw and SmackDown check, Finn Balor. I think we've hit on everything, Josh. I can't.
We ended like last week how we ended last week too, talking about the future of NXT and the women's division.
It's just gonna be a common thing then.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everyone for checking us out. Make sure you leave some comments. Tell us what you thought about the week that was in. Oh, did we talk about Del Rio?
No, I thought we did.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it next week. We'll see where things go.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap up right now. Make sure you hit us up on the OneFall Facebook and the OneFall Instagram. And leave some comments. Tell us what you think, what you want us to talk about, if there's any other subjects. And shouts to all the folks over at OneFall. And until next time, at OneFall, and we talk. And until next time, cheers.
It's real to me, and the marks have inherited the earth.
Enjoy the day, people.